First Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth and Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Eli, the son of Toha, the son of Zupha, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Phinehas his wife, and to her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to help us. We need your power. We need your wisdom. We ask you to enable us to preach just now. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there in verse 6, it said, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, here's a woman. She's married, got a good husband, good family. Husband loves her, and she's got a pretty good life. She doesn't really have a lot to complain about, but the desire of her heart is to give children to her husband, and she can't. And evidently, it's not any fault of hers, it's not any fault of his. The Bible said the Lord shut up her womb. So this is one of those supernatural instances where God said no. For whatever reason, God prevented it. But her husband, having two wives, which was the custom in those days, was wrong then, wrong now, should never have happened. Amen. You're only supposed to get one. Hallelujah. Why anybody would want more than one at a time, I cannot figure out. Anyway, he had two wives, and the other wife tormented this woman. She poked fun at her. She made little snide remarks. She little off-the-wall comments. She became Hannah's adversary. She heckled her. She gave her a hard time. And it caused Hannah to fret. He said, now what in the world is fretting? Well, it's kind of like worrying, but not really worrying. It's things that are more of an aggravation or a disappointment than they are a worry. If somebody told, if you went down and had tests for cancer and you're waiting for results to come back, you're probably going to worry about that, you know. But if your husband comes home every afternoon and puts his feet up on the couch without taking off his shoes, that aggravates you. That frets you. See? I mean, if you don't like it, and you wish there was something you could do about it. But it's not like worrying about something really important. It's just, it's an irritation. Now, in the mechanical field, we use that word fretting a lot. And what fretting is you take two pieces of metal and you put them together, and one of those pieces moves, and so it rubs against another face to face. And it just, because there's no lubrication there and they're not supposed to move, it galls the metal. It wears it down. It tears little chunks out of it. It causes it to get hot and break down, and it undermines the strength of the metal. And that's called fretting. It's when they just rub together, and sooner or later one of them's going to fail. Now, fretting is a little different than chafing. Chafing is where you have one piece of equipment rigid and another piece accidentally bumps up against it or rubs it, and because of the vibration it'll rub a hole in it. That's chafing. But fretting has to do with face-to-face contact and without lubrication, and it just slowly but surely destroys both pieces. It's not an instant failure. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. takes a long time. And fretting causes problems in our lives. The Bible said, fret not. And here you find Hannah fretting. Now, it's not life-threatening if Hannah does not have a child. It is not the end of the world. Amen? Her husband's not cheating on her. She's not going hungry. She hasn't got a bad health report or anything. This is not a life-threatening thing. It's not something you could legitimately worry about. It's just an aggravation. It's something she wants, but she's been denied. And so she frets over it. Now, there are a lot of things in our life that we fret over. And it's 9 times out of 10, it's things you don't have much control over. Most of the time, the things we fret over are honestly things that we should just let go. And it shouldn't really be a concern to us. But it's amazing how we'll fret over them. And so I wanted to talk to you about those. I want to give you about 7 things that you ought not to fret about, that people do fret about. And Christian people ought not to be doing it. The Bible said, fret not. That's a commandment. That means that when you fret over things and you get irritated over them and you can't let it go, you won't leave it alone, and it disturbs you and takes your peace from you, you're sinning against God. Amen. Why? Because he told you not to do that. That's why. Now, so let me give you some things about fretting. Fretting is a mental torment. It's an emotional drain. It'll wear you out. It's not healthy to fret. I can tell you how to quit it, but you're probably not going to listen. It's just the simplest thing in the world. Can we tell you how to do it? Do what you can. Leave the rest to God. That's simple. I mean, now, people aren't going to buy that. I mean, it's just our nature to fret over things. And I think it's a lifelong battle learning not to. It takes a lot of talking to God about things to learn to leave things alone. Amen? And so let me give you 5 or 6 real quick, 6 or 7, and then we'll go home. Fret not. Hannah is fretting. She's fretting about because she can't have a baby. Well, evidently she didn't need one. God wouldn't let her have it. Or at least it wasn't time for her to have one and God wouldn't let her have it. But she's fretting over it. And she's fretting because somebody else has got one and she doesn't. And the one that's got them is going, Fret not. Fret not about what? Well, fret not about money. People fret about money. Sometimes we don't have to actually worry about it. I mean, there's enough there for the necessities. We can pay the bills. We can buy groceries. Well, there's enough for all the essential things, but there's nothing left over. So we fret. So what are we fretting about? Well, we're fretting because we want some extra so that we can go out back. We want some extra so we can get a new dress. We want some extra so we can go play golf. Now, none of those things are life-threatening, but they sure do make life nice. Amen. So here we are. Instead of being thankful unto God that God has met our need, we find ourselves fretting over the little things we don't have. Amen. Now, you ought not to do that. You say, how do you keep from it? It's hard. I'm just telling you what you're supposed to do. Fret not about money. Well, here's how you can work on that problem. 1, work hard. Work hard. Don't be a lazy bum. Work. The Bible said, if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. The sluggard will not plow because of the heat. And then when it goes on there in Proverbs, and when winter comes, he doesn't have a crop. What was his problem? Well, it said, a little folding of the hands, a little closing of the eyes. A lazy bum wouldn't work.
And now he's got a problem with money. There's not enough to do all he wants to do. Amen. So first thing we need to do is learn to be industrious. We need to work. It's a man's lot in life to work. Come to think of it, it's a woman's lot in life to work. Just a different job. And to be quite honest with you, I wouldn't trade jobs with most women for all the money in the world. I would much rather fix heating and air conditioning than to take care of young'uns. Somebody say amen. Man, after about 5 or 6 hours, we'd have to get something straight. Because they wear me out. Now, work hard. Be frugal. Take care of your money. Live within your means. A lot of the times, the reason we have to fret about money and not quite enough to go around is because the honest truth is we have wasted a great deal of what we had. Now, I like to eat out as much as anybody, but if you can't afford to eat out, you know what you ought to do? Eat in. Learn to live within your means. If you've got the money to eat out, help yourself. But if it's going to make you worry about coming up short next week or not being able to buy the baby a new pair of shoes, then I suggest you don't go out and eat. You stay home and eat. Amen. Work hard. Be frugal. Don't buy things you don't need if you can't afford them. Now, if you've got the money and it's not a problem, help yourself. Boy, there's plenty of stuff to spend your money on. But you better learn to live within your means, or you're going to find yourself constantly fretting and worrying and chafing about, is there enough money to go around? People say, well, I'll worry about it later. That's exactly what you do. People say, well, we're here and I'm going to eat out, or I'm going to buy this, or I'm going to have that. And they go ahead and indulge themselves, knowing full well they have cut themselves way too close financially. And now for the next week or month or whatever it is, they're going to have to worry about it and fret about it to see if they can get through that thing. They cause the problem themselves. Amen. Work hard. Be frugal. Live within your means. Give the rest to God. Now, if you do that, you don't have to worry about money. Amen. If you work hard, you were as frugal as you could be, you're trying to live within your means, then you let God take care of the rest. Now, you can't let God take care of the rest if you're wasteful. If you live way above your means, if you're living off credit cards, it's hard to ask God to bless. Amen. Now, this fretting thing, boy, it's harmful to your health, and it's harmful to relationships. People who's got some little thing gnawing at them, aggravating them, irritating them, you know what they tend to do? They tend to be grumpy. They tend to be short. They tend to be hard to get along with. What they do is undermine their relationship with their mate and with their children, and a lot of times with people around them. People say, man, what's eating him? Well, he's got some little thing on his mind that he's fretting over. And you've made life miserable not only for yourself, but for everybody around you. That's not fair. Amen. The Bible said, fret not. So don't fret about your money. Number two, don't fret about your health. Oh, now this is a, listen, I could park here for a while because some people are absolutely consumed with their health. Every time they get a hiccup, they got to go to the doctor and get it checked out. Every time they got a headache, every time they got an upset tummy, they got to go to a doctor. Or they got to lay out of work. Or they got to take it easy. If I laid out as often as some people don't feel good, I never would get anything done. It just amazes me what people will stay out of work for these days. And it's usually some little pit. They say, I just didn't feel good. That's a reason to lose a whole day's work because you didn't feel good? Now, next thing you know, you'll be fretting over the money because you didn't get but 40 minus 8 is 32 hours last week. I kept wanting to say 36. I don't know where that came from. Now, don't fret about your health. everything, every sore muscle, every little pain, every little ache, every little sore spot is not a tumor. It's not cancer. You're not going to die, for crying out loud. You listen to some people, and everything in their life is a major disaster health-wise. Listen, eat right. Well, as right as you can. Eat right. Use a little common sense. Now, I'm not much on dieting and all that, but honest truth is, I have studied dieting for years. I know a lot more about it than you think I do. And the honest truth is, I am not impressed with one diet I ever read about anywhere, ever. The big rage right now, all for the last 15 years, everything's been low fat, low fat, low fat, low fat, low fat. And now they find out low fat diets are killing you. They are detrimental to all your vital organs. And so now everything's going to be low carbohydrate. And then they'll find something wrong with that. Just use your head. Eat in moderation. Take care of yourself. Get some exercise. I wouldn't become a nut about any kind of exercise. I wouldn't become a nut about any kind of diet. Just use some common sense. That's why God gave you common sense. And then don't worry about your health. Trust God. Who do you belong to? Doesn't the Bible say you're not your own, you're bought with a price? Don't you belong to God? Now, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You ought to treat it with respect. You ought to honor it. You ought to take good care of it. I'm not telling you to abuse it. I'm certainly not advocating that you neglect it or anything like that. But you sure get carried away about it. Amen. I was listening to a thing the other day, and this guy was showing all these doctors that die at such early ages. Then he gave all this big, long list of athletes who have died. These are the people that are jogging and the pumping the iron and on the diet and taking the supplements and all that stuff. And the couch potatoes outlive them by 10, 15 years. You know who's got the longest life expectancy in America? Couch potatoes. See, why is that? Well, one, they don't wear their heart out with all that stupid exercise. Two, they don't sweat out all their vitamins and minerals and stuff. They don't deplete their system. If you want to live a long time, lay on the couch and watch TV. I'm just teasing now. There's as many positions as there is doctors and dietitians out there. So just use some common sense. And don't worry about every little ache and pain. I've had a pain here for 2 days. X-lax. Take care of that. Amen. Every time I eat, I get heartburn. Get off the carbohydrates, take care of that. It's not life-threatening. But boy, people just, they latch on to every little ache and every, and they fret over it, and they fret over it, and they fret over it. Ease up. Use a little common sense, trust God, and when your time comes, you are gone. Amen. Don't fret. Don't fret about your money. Don't fret about your health. Don't fret about government. Oh, man, you run into people all the time, and they are always upset about the government. These left-wing radicals, these right-wing radicals, these leftist, communist, pinko sympathizers, boy, and we're just in a rage about them. Or the other side is all these unfeeling, uncaring, unsympathetic, right-wing, extremist, bigoted, religious fanatics. You know, that's the other side. And everybody's worried about the government's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, it's been gone, pal. I mean, you are wasting your time worrying about it. It's been gone since Lincoln. You haven't lived in a democracy in 100 years. Why are you fretting about it for now? Besides that, what's all your fretting going to do? Now, I'm a firm believer in being involved in government. I'm not one of those Christians but thinks it's wrong for us to be involved. I'm a citizen as well as a Christian. And the powers that be are ordained of God. There is an American government because God let them set it up. And then he put me in it, and he wanted me to be a citizen in it. And so we ought to pay our taxes. We ought to vote. We ought to be informed. We ought to pray for our officials. You're admonished in the Bible. Pray for them to have the rule over you, that you might live quiet and peaceable lives. You ought to be involved in government, but you ought not to let it upset you. You ought not to stay all the time frustrated about it. Listen, I know they're taking your tax money and giving it to a bunch of sorry minorities that lay around and have welfare babies. I know they're doing that. I know they're taking millions of dollars every year and treating people with AIDS when they ought to just put them in a pile over there and let them die and be done with it. I mean, I know they're wasting money. But what good's fretting about it going to do? The thing to do about it is be informed. Participate. Vote when you can. Voice your opinion when you can. Elect the best officials you can. Pray to God for everybody in power and authority, and then go and live your life. Amen. I'm not going to get an ulcer because Bill Clinton's in office. I figure America got what they deserve. We're dirty. We're immoral. We're ungodly. And I just figured God gave us what we was looking for. I wasn't looking for that either. But as a whole, our nation is looking for that kind of guy. They love that sucker, because they're as perverted as he is. Don't fret about the government. Pay your taxes, vote, pray for your officials, and leave the rest to God. Now, you've noticed that in these first three, that the bottom line in every one of them is leave the rest to God. That's the answer, buddy. If we could just honestly learn to leave things with God. Do the best we can in every aspect and in every area of our life. Do what we can. Do our dead level best. Leave the rest to God. Now, fret not. Fret not about your family. Some folks, family is everything. And family is not everything. But it's almost everything. Next to God, it's everything. Amen. I really believe that. People say, well, country first. The country's great, man, but it wouldn't mean as much to me without my family as it does with them. Amen. I believe in God and country and family, and probably in that order when it comes to service. But the honest truth is, boy, the reason I'm concerned about America is because that's where my folks are. Amen. If all my family was in Russia, I'd probably be praying for Russia. Now, but you ought not to fret yourself about your family. You ought to love them. In my notes here, it says you're supposed to do right by them. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he's got a stepson that is just an absolute rascal. And he's fixing to go to jail. He's in big time trouble. And the mother is wanting to get this boy out, wanting to spend a whole bunch of money and put it up for bail to get this boy out of jail. And the minute she gets him out, he's going to run. Because he knows they're fixing to extradite him to Tennessee and put him in state prison for 2 years, no parole. If they get that boy out, he's gone. And she's going to be out a ton of money. You know what she wants to do? She wants to get him out anyway. You know what she said? He's my boy. Lady, your boy stole 6 cars in 2 months. And you got him out of jail where he was at, and you brought him down here, and he stole one since he'd been here, and he's only been here since last Saturday. Your boy is a thief. And the best thing you can do for that boy is let him take his little skinny pimple-faced butt and go on back to jail. But down south, he's family. Lady, he's no good. Let him take his lick. He's family. Well, if you're going to be that dumb, you deserve what you get. I think you ought to take care of family. I think you ought to love family. You ought to do what you can for family. But there's a point in time, there's a place where when they've done wrong, if you're going to do right by them, you got to let them take their licks. Somebody say amen. Now, do right by them. Do good to them. You ought to be good to your family. Children ought to be good to mom and dad. Mom and dad ought to be good to children. And you've got close relatives around, you ought to be good to them. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But boy, every time there's a little squabble in the family, or every time brother or sister, son or daughter gets in a little spat or gets in trouble and everybody's all up in arms and fretting and that's nonsense. People are going to have to learn to live their own lives, make their own decisions, make their own mistakes, and take their own licks. And you can't make real men or women out of them until they learn to stand up flat-footed and take what they got coming. So quit fretting over them. Got to let them go. You do right by them. You do good to them. You be patient with them. You pray for them. And boy, if you've got young'uns or you've got family or whatever, you need to pray for them. Even the good ones. You pray them stay good. Amen. A trillion temptations out there. But if you got ones giving you trouble, pray for them too. Do good by them. Do good to them. Pray for them. Be patient with them. And then turn them over to God. But don't spend your life fretting over them. You can't change them. You can't make them what they want to be. You can holler and scream and cry, it's my little boy, that's my little girl, till the cows come home. But if your little boy, your little girl has got something in their heart and in their mind, a way they want to live, a lifestyle they've chosen, friends they like, all your pleading, all your crying ain't going to change them. All your worrying and fretting, not going to fix them up. You get a lot more done with prayer than you will with fretting. Fret not. Fret not about disappointments. Now, just mark that down. They're coming. We all get disappointed in this life. Anybody here batting 1,000? Everything has always gone your way. Everything you ever wanted, you got. Nobody ever turned you down. You never failed. You never came in second. Okay, Brother Mark. Now, truth is, disappointments that are things that occur. And they're going to occur. They're as much a part of your life as breathing. Nobody bats 1,000. Nobody wins every time. The sun doesn't always shine on you. It doesn't always go your way. There are going to be things you want, things you've worked hard for, and you're just not going to get them. Sometimes they're going to be right within your grasp, and you think you got it, and then for some reason, it's gone. And you're going to feel disappointment. Well, you need to learn to deal with it. I mean, because it's not going to be the last time it happens. So get a handle on it. Oh, I've seen people when they get disappointed, they just sulk and pout and carry on and throw little fits. You're wasting your time. What is it going to fix? Stamp your little feet and cry. It's not fair. I worked so hard. Well, work hard next time. Try it again. Maybe you'll win. But you lost this one. That's life. Deal with it. See, I'm pragmatic. I'm an existentialist. I'm one of them que sera, sera guys, man. Whatever will be. I mean, you just take life like it is, and you live with it. The world says you got to play the hand you're dealt. That's kind of worldly, but the honest truth is it's a good sentiment. You better, people say, I just can't deal with this. I just can't. Well, what are you going to do? If you can't deal with it, the only solution is drugs or dope or liquor or to run from life. You either deal with it or hide from it because you can't change it. It's already happened. It's already passed, and you can't fix it. The best thing you can do is just give it to God and go on and do the best you can tomorrow and try it again and try it again and try it again, and one of these days, by the grace of God, you win. But you better learn to deal with disappointment and to sit around and fret about it and sulk about it and have hard feelings about it and whine about it. And I hate all that whining. We just got rid of a secretary, just aggravated. I just never could learn to like that little old girl. And I don't know anything about her, but she's always whining. She's always whining. Something was always wrong.
Tim Bishop come in one day and she was whining about something. He said, ma'am, he said, you want some cheese to go with that wine? Disappointment's part of life. You take it in stride. I know it hurts. I know it's a disappointment. That's why we call it a disappointment. We don't like it. We didn't get what we wanted. But it is not the end of the world. It is not the end of your life unless you let it become the end of your life. You have to learn to deal with those things. Don't fret about them. Pray. Trust God. Don't fret. Don't fret about death. People always worrying about dying. Now listen, I like living as much as anybody you ever met in your life. And I honestly, I'm not bragging, but I doubt if you know anybody that enjoys life more than I do. I have a good time. I like living. I like getting mad. I like getting happy. Well, some of y'all must. You do it a lot. I like everything about living. It's all a new experience. Well, I enjoy it. I like life. But I got enough sense that I'm going to die. I know that every day of my life I'm getting closer to the graveyard. I see all these people wanting to stay young. That's got to be the dumbest people on this planet. You can't stay young. You can't even fool anybody into thinking you're young. Here's some woman, 55 years old, 40 pounds overweight, you know, still trying to wear a size 10 or a 12, and she needs a 16, 18. Little old short skirt and a low top, and it's way too tight, and she can't hardly breathe, and she walks like this, you know. Got that one of them big fancy hair, they're trying to look like a swinger. She didn't want to get old. She looks retarded. Looks like a hooker from down on Black Street or something, you know. Trying to do what? Stay young. I don't want to get old. Well, listen, there's nothing you can do about it. You cannot stop the biological clock. Amen. You are going to get old. Well, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to get them creams. I'm going down and get that laser face job, you know. Tummy tucks and all that stuff and eye jobs, get rid of this wrinkle. Yeah, and your skin's so thin, look like you could spit through it, you know. People worrying about getting old and dying. Why don't you just enjoy living as you go? Because there ain't a thing you can do about it. You're going to die anyway, so just make up your mind. That's the inevitable, and you got a little time. Make the best out of it while you can and quit fretting about it. You can't do anything. Anybody here going to keep themselves alive? The Bible said in Ecclesiastes that no man hath the power to retain the spirit in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Once your time's up, you're going to check out. And there ain't a thing you can do about it. People sit around worrying about it and trying not to get old because they don't, because the end of old is dead. Well, you're going that way, point on a man wants to die. You're about half crazy to sit around and fret about it. You can't keep yourself alive. You can't prolong it. When your time's up, you're going. The only thing you can do is say, okay, I'm alive today. I'm in good health today. I'm going to make the best out of today that I possibly can. I'm going to do all for God I can today. I'm going to enjoy all I can. I'm going to take in as much as I can. I'm going to be as big a blessing as I can. That's all I can do. Because tomorrow, I'll be one day closer to the graveyard. Don't worry about death. Don't fret about it. It's coming someday. The thing to do is prepare for it. Instead of trying to dodge it and pretend it's not coming, trying to live like you're still 18, the thing to do is prepare for it. Isn't it amazing how folks see old age coming and retirement coming, so they'll invest in a 401k and they'll take this stock option and they'll do this and they'll put money in savings account and buy CDs and all this, that, and the other. So why do they do that? Because they see the day coming when they're going to be unemployed, and they're trying to make preparation and prepare for that day. Them same people know that death is coming. Just as surely as retirement is right down the street, the graveyard is right past it. Amen? Now, that's the way the street is built. If you go down the street of life, right there is the retirement office, and right there is the cemetery. Just right down the street, same road. And you got to go through both of them. But we will prepare for retirement and ignore dying. Thing to do is get prepared for it. Then it won't be such a shock. Then you won't be so afraid. You know, if you've got plenty of money in the bank, if you've invested wisely and used your head, and you've got a good retirement program and some annuities and this, that, and the other, and everything's all taken care of, you don't worry too much about retirement, do you? Matter of fact, if you've been really wise, you can sit back and kind of look forward to it. Bless God, no more punching in, no more punching out. Come and go as I please. Take a few trips. Me and the wife will go here and we'll go there. We'll just lay around, do some yard work, do some stuff we've always wanted to do. You can look forward to retirement. Well, if you get everything fixed up before you die, if you get right with God and get everything fixed up like you should, then death's not such a tragedy. And it's not so scary. If you know that you know that you know you're saved, then you don't have to worry about hell. There's one thing going right off the bat. Amen. And you know your sins are under the blood and you're not going to have to answer for them. There's another. Amen. And you lived your life the best you could. You've been faithful and true, and you served God as many years as you had. And so you know when you go up to give an account, the Lord's going to find some mistakes and He's going to find some errors, but He's not going to find you goofed off. Amen. You've been faithful. Well, if all that's true, then maybe it's not so bad. Amen. Then if you look at the rewards you got coming and the things God's got in store for you, you might actually end up getting excited about it. I've known some old people that were kind of excited about it. They were old. They lived a good life. It was about time for them to check out, and they were not one bit scared, and they were not one bit depressed about leaving this old world. I went to the hospital one time and talked to a woman who was 78 years old who had fallen and broken her hip and laid out in the yard on the wet, cold ground for about 10 or 12 hours and got pneumonia, and she was dying with bone cancer, and she's, I think she's 78 years old. And I went down there. This preacher called me up because he was way out of town and said, "Would you go down and visit my church member and just let her know that, you know, we're thinking about her and this, that, and the other?" I said, "Well, sure," because she's just down the street from where I was at. So I went down to visit her. And I walked in there, and the old lady's laying there talking to herself. She's quoting Bible. And I get to talking to her. I'm down there to cheer her up. That old woman knew more Bible than I did. She could quote it faster than I could read it. I said, "Well, what did you do while you was laying there on the ground for 12 hours? She said, "Oh, I quoted the book Psalms." And I got to talking to her, and she said, "Young man," she said, "don't be so timid." She said, "I know I'm dying." She said, "I got bone cancer and pneumonia," and said, "I'm not going to get out of here. This another week, 2 weeks, a couple weeks at the most, I'll be dead." Well, I was a brand new preacher. I was just a young fella, you know, and that kind of took me aback. I didn't know how to handle that. So I'm kind of stammering and stuttering and backpedaling. And she said, "Just relax." She said, "Everything's all right. I've been saved 60 years. I got everything all fixed up." She said, "I've lived for Jesus since the day I got saved. I'm looking forward." She wasn't fretting. She wasn't worried about it. If that old woman had died that night, it wouldn't bother her a dime. I mean, she was ready to go. I was a lot more miserable than she was. I wouldn't worry about dying. It's coming. Just prepare for it. Get your affairs in order. You know what you ought to do? Instead of fretting about dying and getting old and all that kind of stuff, get saved, get everything fixed up with God, and then get your affairs in order. Keep everything straight with everybody you deal with. Don't let anything ever get between you and them. Work it out. Fix it up. Deal with it now. And then when you go or when they go, you're not going to have any sorrow or regret. Amen? Every time I hire a new bring them in my office and sit down, and we go through a list of things that we expect them to do and what they're entitled to and all this, that, and the other. And I tell every one of them, this is my policy. Anytime there's anything I'm unhappy about, anytime you do anything that I think needs to be fixed or corrected or something said about it, or you do something wrong, or I said, I will take care of it right then while it is this big. If you work for me, we never have big blow-ups. We never have major confrontations because we deal with everything when it comes up. I said, if I haven't talked to you, then you just go ahead and assume that everything is okay. Now, I practice that. I practice that at work. I practice that in life. If I haven't said anything to you, it's because everything's okay. So why do you do that? I want to keep all my affairs in order. I don't want to suddenly die and leave things undone that I should have done, or leave things unsaid that I wanted to say. Amen? I don't want you to suddenly die and me regret it because I owed you an apology, or I wanted to say something or tell you that I loved you and I never got around to it. Try to keep all that stuff straight all the time. Now you say, why do you do that? Because death comes suddenly. Death comes unexpectedly. It can come to me or it can come to you. And when it comes to whichever, I don't want anything there to cause hard feelings or to cause me to fret. Boy, I wish I'd have done this. Boy, I wish I'd have done that. Well, if I'd known he was going to die, I'd have done so. No, sir. Do it now. Naomi and the Segal brothers used to sing a song called Give Me the Roses While I Live. Then you don't have to fret about it. Amen? Don't fret about death. It's coming. Just prepare for it. Get your affairs in order and then trust Christ. You're not going until it's your time. One way or another. Amen? And if your time's up, nothing you can do is going to stop it. You're going. People say, well, if John Kennedy Jr. hadn't gotten that airplane, then a semi would have hit him. Amen? They said, well, if he had just stayed at home, then the fool would have fell over the balcony. If his time was up, he's dead. Why fret? There's nothing you can do about it. Just be prepared for it. Let me close with this. Don't fret. Don't fret about the future. People are always worried about tomorrow. The Bible said, take care of today. Sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. Take no thought for tomorrow. What's he saying? Take care of today. You can't live tomorrow. Today, it's always going to be one day ahead of you. No matter what you do, tomorrow is going to stay in the future. Because you're going to have to live in the eternal right now. So worrying about what is going to be down the road someplace is just nonsense. So what do? Be what you should be today. The best preparation for tomorrow is to make sure today is right. That today is complete. That today you did what you're supposed to do. If you just take care of today, I guarantee you tomorrow will be just fine. Be what you should be today. Be where you should be today. You ought to be the kind of person you're supposed to be. And then you ought to do or go be where you should be. If you're supposed to be at work today, you need to be at work today. You don't need to be out fishing, right? Well, in life, you have to learn what your responsibilities and your obligations are, and then you meet them. You've got to be where you're supposed to be. Duties never conflict. Be faithful today. You're not going to have to worry about tomorrow. If you just do all you could be today, be where you're supposed to be today, be faithful to God and duty today, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be in perfect condition. How many of you have got a job where you're a supervisor or something, and you've got a certain amount of work that has to be done, and you've got to get it done. You've got a certain number of people to do it and a certain amount of time to do it in. And if you get in there and you work hard and you get it all taken care of, and everything that needed to be done today was done, you don't dread going to work tomorrow. Let me tell you when you dread going to work. When I had a certain amount to do and a certain amount of time to get it done in, I had a deadline and I didn't get it done. Then I say, oh man, I hate going in this morning. Why is that? I'm buried. Well, if it's buried because you overwhelmed me, that's one thing. If I'm buried because I goofed off or was inefficient or didn't do my best, then I worry. Who's going to fuss at me? Who's going to jump down my throat? What are they going to say? Amen? If I'll just be faithful today to do what I'm supposed to do today, if I'll be faithful to God today, I will not have anything to worry about tomorrow. Serve God today. Now, if you do that, God will make sure the future is just what it's supposed to be. When people get all upset, they fret. They worry. They wring their hands. They're aggravated. They're tense. They're short and hateful because they fret about things. And they, now listen, they fret about the things of this life. And the honest truth is, I don't care whether it's your money or your job or your health or your family or what it is, if you have done the best you can do and you did it with all your might, there's nothing else you can do. And to fret is an absolute and utter waste of time. If you've done, now, and that's a big if you've done your part, if you worked and labored and did all you could and you did it as good as you can do it, the thing to do is leave the rest with God. Because He's the only one that can change anything. You just confessed you did all you could do. Now, if on the other hand, you've shirked responsibility, you've dodged duty, you've been lazy, you've been inconsistent and unfaithful, maybe you've got reason to fret. If you want that tension out of your life, if you want that discontented spirit, if you want that aggravation, the secret is to be all you can be and then leave the rest with God. There's nobody in this room, I'd be willing to wager, if I was a wager man, I'm not, but if I was, I would be willing to wager, nobody here, not in one area of your life, not one time ever, when you've done what was right and what you were supposed to do and did it well and did it with all your might, you ever had to fret over it. What causes fretting? Two things. One, not doing what we're supposed to do. Two, not trusting God with the rest. The Bible said, fret not. Fret not. You can't let the little things in life keep you aggravated. You can't let the little things in life, you can't let the unchangeable things in life take all the joy out of living. Fret not. Hannah was fretting over something she had absolutely no control. If you're fretting about getting old and dying, you're wasting your time. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. The Lord, the book said, fret not. You know our frame. You know how prone we are to fret. We let little things get to us. We tend to make mountains out of molehills. We get obsessed with things we got no control over whatsoever. Quite often we don't give it our best shot. And then we worry and we fret because we know we're not prepared. We didn't do our part. All that fretting robs us of peace, robs us of joy, takes away our appreciation for God's goodness. I pray you'd help us to be what we ought to be, and then trust in thee that we might obey your command. Fret not. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.